There is a process that takes place as we mature as Christians. Our prayers shift from asking for things to asking for God. That's why some of our prayers are answered in ways that surprise us. God wants a relationship with each of His children, a relationship that transcends all the daily details we think are so crucial. That's why His responses to our prayers may be disguised. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as Erwin Lutzer continues his talk on what to do when the answer is disguised, with this key promise from the Bible.
The Bible says God rewards those who diligently seek Him. You know, why is it that people were willing to give up their homes and that their property was plundered back in chapter 10? It says in verse 34, because they knew they had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Here it talks about a reward. Why did Moses leave the treasures of Egypt? Verse 36. Actually, verse 26, it's because he was looking forward to the reward, 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 reward. God rewards those who seek Him out. And what is the reward? Well, let's begin with joy. Let's begin with joy. Whenever I've asked to autograph something, maybe a book or a Bible, usually, and people say, well, give me your favorite verse, I usually use Psalm 16:11, where it says, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Imagine joy in the presence of God. In fact, the Bible commands us in Psalm 37 to delight ourselves in God. Imagine delight. Now, just think about this for a moment. Imagine a relationship with God where the darkness has been pushed out by light and the emptiness has been filled with His own glory and grace. Imagine a Christian life in which there is that sense of accomplishment and fulfillment, not because of what you do, but because of the relationship that you've established with God, and you walk with Him and love Him, and within there is a sense of contentment and rest. Imagine it. This past week, Rebecca and I flew somewhere on the plane. Actually, it was Florida. And we had to come back. We had to come back on a Saturday when the wind chill index was 21 degrees below zero. But on the way, I read something by David Brainard. Now, you may not know who he was, but he was a missionary among the Indians who lived in a different time frame many years ago. And this was sort of a compilation of some of the things that he had written in his diary. Can I just give you a few lines? I enjoyed the light of God's countenance, and my soul rested in God, he says. 1 hour with God infinitely exceeds all the pleasures and delights of this lower world. Let me give you another quote. I desired nothing but God, nothing but His holiness. He had given me these desires, and I love this. He has given me these desires, and He alone can fill them. God gives us a desire for Himself, and then God is the only one who can fulfill the desires that He Himself gives. And it's very clear in Scripture that salvation, when you are born again, goes down to the level of desire. Imagine loving somebody whom you have never seen, passionately loving someone whom you have never seen. And yet it says in the book of 1 Peter, whom having not seen, speaking of Christ, whom having not seen ye love. That's birthed in our hearts by God. And you see, people will never give up their sin. Can you imagine trying to convince a man to give up his pornography? Why would he ever do that? It is like trying to convince a lion to give up meat and begin to eat straw. The desires, the appetites are there. How can he give it up? I'll tell you how he can give it up. When he begins to realize that God is more satisfying than his lusts. That's the bottom line. In fact, there's a man who wrote a long article about his struggle in that regard, and the verse of Scripture that brought deliverance to him is taken from the Sermon on the Mount, where it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." He said, the thing about my sin was it was cutting me off from God. The sense of guilt and shame was blotting the face of the Heavenly Father, whom I love. It's the passion for God that is greater than our passion to sin. See, sin tells lies. Sin always lies. It always says, come my direction and you'll be better off. More pleasure, more satisfaction. Notice what the text says regarding Moses. I read it a moment ago, but look at it very, very quickly. You'll notice it says in verse 24 of Hebrews 11, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God," catch it now, "than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." Moses says, of course there is pleasure in sin, but for a season. And these are fleeting pleasures. These pleasures always have a bad aftertaste. And so the way in which we do it is we discover that in seeking God, there is great reward. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, you don't have to fear because I love this. I am your exceeding great reward. I'm here. And when I'm here, there is a sense of rest and satisfaction and gladness." That's why the Psalms are so filled with exhortations to rejoice in God. It is because God Himself rewards those who seek Him. Well, of course, the $64 question is very, very apparent now. And that is, how do we seek God? A generation that has not sought God, who's looked at God as kind of a slot machine. In other words, Lord, I want this, and this is what I want you to do for me, and keep me from harm, keep me healthy, help me no longer to have the problems that I do, prevent me from accidents. All those may have their place. But to a generation where prayer is primarily that, how do we stop in our tracks and say to ourselves, I want to seek God? I mean, if it is true that He generously rewards those who seek Him, I want to be among those who take Him up on it. Do you too want to take Him up on it? How do we do it? Well, aren't you glad you asked? I mean, that's such a good question. I need to commend you for asking it. Would you notice in your bulletin this morning, there is a card that I prepared. And this card, and you can reach for it right now. This card is entitled, The Rewards of Faith. Larry Crabb wrote a book entitled, The Papa Prayer. And this Papa Prayer really is a discussion of this mega shift that I'm talking about, where prayer goes from asking to relationship. And he, in the book, has a system outlined. Mine is different from his, but nonetheless, I do commend to you what Larry Crabb has to say, and actually have some quotes from his book, which I might give you if we have enough time. So this is what I have prepared, because this reflects actually where I am at in the journey of seeking God. You'll notice, and now with your card in front of you, notice, first of all, how do you do it? You choose to agree with God. You choose to agree with God. This has to begin with silence. I wait silently before the Lord, the psalmist says. Because what you are doing now is exposing your life and all of the intents of the heart to a God who already sees you. And what you're saying is, God, not only do you see me, but show me what you see so that I can deal with it. What are the stones that have to be moved in my life in order to have a clear relationship with you? What is standing in the way? This is known as confession. You've heard many times that the word confess means to agree with God. It says, God, whatever you show me, I agree that bitterness is sin. I agree that this relationship I'm in is sinful. I agree that the anxieties that I am bearing are sinful because I have things on my shoulders that you are supposed to carry and I'm carrying them. And that is the time when we come and we agree with God. I usually do this in silence. When I pray this way, as I try to do, if not every day, that's the way I want to pray. So, it begins with silence. By the way, I do pray every day, but possibly not exactly in this order. And I might say, sometimes I don't follow the order. This is not some kind of a new formula. All right? We're talking relationship here. You choose to agree with God in honesty, confession, and surrender. You choose to adore God. You begin to read the Psalms, possibly. You read about the blessings of God. Use a hymn or a chorus. Those of you who belong to the choir, you have certainly a jump on us here because, you know, you're constantly singing those songs of glory. I notice that the songs that we sing on a Sunday oftentimes are in my mind during the week. And so what you do is you use the Bible, you use a hymnal. I love to be able to just look into the face of God and say, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. What you are doing is reminding yourself of God. You're reminding him, yes, and yourself, actually, of his attributes, but you're also reminding yourself of his relationship with you. And you're building that relationship. This is a relationship that is going to be built in confidence. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and again, I want to emphasize that this is a very important message. Because in it, I prescribe a certain sequence of events for your prayer life. Not that you have to follow the sequence, but what I'm interested in doing is helping people to seek God. I'm learning to do that myself. Because the Bible says so clearly that when we seek Him, He rewards those who seek Him out. All that we can do is to learn how. Thanks, friend. See you next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of When the Answer is Disguised, the third message in a 6-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. On Monday, more ways to make your prayer life turn from seeking answers to seeking God. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. As a help in working through unanswered prayer, this series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.